So we'll begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 4, looking at verse 23. Lord, we now want to give you these next several minutes. We want to give you our thoughts, our attention. We ask that you would speak to us very clearly, that you would give us truth. Help us to be those who live life wisely. Give us the tools. Give us the principles to consider. We commit this time into your hands, asking that you would bless the only way you can. In Jesus' name, amen. King David wrote in Psalm 139, this is one of my favorite psalms, he said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has skillfully created us. And He is to be praised for that. I did a little research this week on the human heart. That organ in our chest that, you know, pumps blood throughout our body. This ticker is amazing. Your heart is absolutely amazing. Listen to some of these facts. The heart beats about 100,000 times each day. In a 70-year lifetime, the average heart beats more than 2.5 billion times. The adult heart pumps about 5 quarts of blood each minute. 2,000 gallons of blood each day. Your heart, in an average lifetime, will pump 1 million barrels of blood. That's enough to fill 3 super tankers, think of that, with blood. It pumps blood through your system of blood vessels, and a couple of sources I found said that your system of blood vessels, meaning arteries, veins, and capillaries, is over 60,000 miles long if you stretched it all out. Another source says that in one day, the blood travels a total of 12,000 miles. That's 4 times the distance across the U.S. from coast to coast. That's a pretty impressive organ, huh? We are wonderfully and fearfully made, and we need to take care of this heart, don't we? As of 2007, heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, killing one person every 34 seconds in the United States alone. So it's very important that we take care of these hearts. And the doctor gives us the things to do to make sure we have a healthy heart. Exercise regularly, have a healthy diet, and avoid smoking. So that would be the doctor's orders this morning, to protect your physical heart. But according to the book of Proverbs, there's another heart that we also need to protect. A heart that's probably actually is much more important than our physical hearts. And it's mentioned here in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4. Read that with me. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." That word heart in verse 23 is the Hebrew word lev. And it's a very common word in the Old Testament. It shows up 814 times. There are some times when it actually refers to the physical heart, but that's not usually the way it's to be understood. And that's not the way it's being used here in verse 23. In its basic root meaning, this word refers to that which is inner. That which is in the middle. That which is central. And so, the heart refers to the inner man. The inner woman. Your heart is the inner you. According to the Hebrews, the heart is the seat of the emotions. So your heart is the seat of your emotions. Your heart is the seat of your intellect. It's the seat of your will, your desire, your inclination. Your heart is the seat of your personality. Your heart is the seat of your conscience, of your moral character. It is the inner you. Other words could be used interchangeably. It's your heart. It's your mind. It's your soul. It's your spirit. And I personally believe that there is one aspect of the heart that's being emphasized here in verse 23 and in the other Proverbs. I believe it's principally referring to your thought life. The source of your thoughts and reflection and meditation. It's where you think. That inner part of you that thinks. A famous philosopher said, I think, therefore I am. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's your thought life. That part of you where you mull things over. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the most important part of your life. That is the most important part of your life. I think that's implied here by this verse. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. The NIV version says, above all else, guard your heart. Of all the things that need to be guarded in our lives, my brother and sister in Christ, your heart, your thought life, the inner you, that is your most important asset. That is what needs to be guarded. Now, why is that the case? Because your heart, the inner you, is the part of you that's going to live forever. And also, look what it says there in verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That's why that's the most important part. Your thought life. Out of your heart, out of your thought life, spring all the issues of life. In other words, the condition of your inner being, your heart, your mind, your soul, the condition will overflow into your life. It will manifest itself in the way you live your life. In the things you do, in the things you say. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19 says, as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. It's kind of an abstract thing to think when we think about this inner part of us and how it impacts the outer behavior. But you got a great illustration in this verse that I think really makes it seem clear. Your heart is like a reservoir. Your heart is a pool of water. And that water flows out. So, if your heart is a cesspool, then filth and sewage will spew forth from your life. If your heart is a pure, crystal blue, freshwater spring, then that will manifest itself. That will come out of your life in good things. From your heart spring the issues of life. Your behavior, how you deal with life, everything. And I think we have examples of that right here in our text. There's three activities listed right after verse 23, and I see a connection. There is a connection between the condition of your heart and the words that you speak. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. The idea is, if your heart is a cesspool, then that will bubble up through your mouth the words you speak. Vulgar speech, profanity, lies. It says perverse speech, a deceitful mouth. If the condition of your heart is that clear, freshwater spring, then what bubbles up? Good words. Peaceful words. Good speech. Jesus said that exact same thing to us in Luke chapter 6. He said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks." If you'd like to get a good idea of what the condition of your heart is, listen to yourself talk. That will show you what the condition of your heart is. And you know, I make observations about society, there are a lot of cesspool hearts out there. Just by listening to the things that are said. Listen to the lyrics that come through popular music or words on TV. Or just the way people talk around you. You know, lots of parents here in this congregation of small kids, and perhaps this happens to you. This happens to me, our family, all the time, perhaps weekly. We'll be out in public somewhere with our kids, maybe waiting in line somewhere or being in a restaurant or being at a park. And there are so many times where we'll be around other people that are just talking filth. Seems like every other week that happens. And Kim and I have to say, "Hey, would you mind not speaking like that?" Filth everywhere. Those words that come out of our mouths, that's an indication of what our heart's like. There's also a connection between the condition of our hearts and our eyes. What we look at. Verse 25 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you." That is speaking of focus, what you look at, what drives you, your goals, how you give your attention to certain things. And I think it's very, very simple. If your heart is a cesspool, then your eyes will be looking at wicked things, and your attention will be on wicked things, and your focus will be on wicked, evil things. If the condition of your heart is pure, then your focus, your attention, will be on good things. If you want to know what the condition of your heart is, what do you focus your life on? What drives you? What gets you up in the morning? You say the alarm clock. I mean, after that. What motivates you? Are you one of these people that wake up every morning looking for the next party? The next sexual encounter? Does that drive you? That reveals what your heart's like. Are you the person who wakes up every morning wanting to make just as much money as you possibly can? And that's what you're living for? That shows greed in your heart. Jesus made an interesting connection between that and the heart in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." We've sure seen that lately, haven't we? About earthly treasure. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That condition of your heart totally impacts your focus in life. It will manifest itself. And then, of course, the condition of your heart is also connected to your walk, your behavior. Look at verse 26. "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." There is no doubt that the condition of your heart will manifest itself in outward activity, in behavior, in where you walk, what you do. Jesus, again, said in Mark chapter 7, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All of that activity starts right there in your heart. It's all right there. If your heart is a cesspool, you will be involved in filthy behavior. Throughout the book of Proverbs, it says, if your heart is full of folly, you will live foolishly. If your heart is filled with misinformation and dangerous stuff, you're going to be in danger because you're going to be doing dangerous things. I think there's a huge problem in our society with young teenage girls. Eating disorders. And why do they do that? Because they believe something in their heart. There's information in their heart about what's a really attractive young lady. And they look at the models on the magazines or the models on TV and they see these real thin girls and they think, that's beauty. And they don't realize that there's been a lot of digital manipulation to those images. A lot of makeup applied. And so you have young girls believing in their heart that real beauty looks that way, and that leads them towards dangerous activities like anorexia. What you think in your heart, the condition of your heart, bleeds over. It overflows in activity. If you have a good heart, then you'll be involved in good activity. It will manifest itself in the way you live, in practical ways. So, every area of life, right, springs forth from the heart, my friend. That's why you got to protect it. Guard it. Watch it. Maintain it. Protect it. Be a watchman over your heart. I love that picture in the Old Testament days. cities used to be fortified, and they had these big walls around them for protection with gates that would close every night. And during the night, there were the night watchmen. They were in the towers on the wall. And their job was to look out and warn of any approaching enemies. That's what we need to be for our own hearts. Watchmen. I am telling you, build a wall around your heart. And watch it. And guard it. Keep it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, the doctors give us practical ways to make sure we have healthy physical hearts. Are there any practical ways, any practical things that we can do to guard our spiritual hearts? There are. Very, very important, practical, daily things that you and I can do. And the first, I would say, also involves diet. What you feed your heart. What you feed your thought life. Look over at chapter 7 of Proverbs. Look at verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. And my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's a very, very important principle. Your heart is a tablet. And you can write on it. You can write good things, or you can write bad things. Now, if you write bad things, then that's going to come up through your life through bad things. If you write good things on your heart, then that will manifest itself in the way you live your life in a good way. Again, your heart is a reservoir of water. You can pour dirty water into it, and out will come more dirt. Or you can pour good water into it. You have to feed your heart the good stuff. Feed your mind. And I believe that that is the most important area of our lives as Christians. That's the battle in the thought life. What you feed it. J. Oswald Sanders said, "The mind of man is the battleground on which every moral and spiritual battle is fought." So, there's two things to think about when it comes to this. First of all, keep your thought life from bad stuff. Be careful what you digest intellectually. My brother and sister in Christ, you need to know, there are some movies out there, there are some TV shows, there are some books, there are definitely some websites that we should never go near. We need to keep that material from coming into our hearts. Pouring dirt right into your heart. How foolish is that? I think it's very important that we also guard who we hang out with a lot. The conversations that we have. You know, there might be some people in your life that you hang around with a lot. And they're always speaking bad things into your heart. Do away with that. Protect what you're hearing. Protect what you're digesting. I love the story of one professor at Dallas Seminary. This guy was tough as nails, yet pure in heart. And he was in a city one time, and he went to a barber shop. The barber didn't know who he was. And so this barber began talking on the various issues of the day, giving his opinion, as barbers usually do. And he peppered every phrase with an oath or a four-letter word. And this teacher bit his lip as long as he could. Finally, He grabbed the barber's arm, pulled him around to the side of the chair, and looked the man right in the eye. Quietly but firmly, he pulled on his own earlobe and said to the barber, "Does that look like a sewer?" Is your ear a sewer? Protect it. Don't pour filth into it. Actually, that was pretty brave of him. That barber had scissors, right? So there's that element. Protect. And protect. Don't even mess around with a little bit of garbage. Keep that stuff out. I love the story of the mom who was peeling vegetables for a salad, and her daughter came home from college, and she said, "Well, I'm going to go to a questionable movie tonight," basically. And so the mom picked up a handful of garbage, threw it in the salad, and mixed it all up together. "Mom, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I thought if you didn't mind a little garbage in your mind, you certainly wouldn't mind a little garbage in your stomach." That's good, isn't it? Be relentless in that. So there is that element to feeding your heart. Keep it from the bad stuff, but then you have to go forward. You have to be proactive. You're not just neutral. You're not just walking around in life, "I can't see that." No. Instead, you proactively fill it with good stuff. You work at it. You steer your heart towards good information. And my brother and sister in Christ, there is nothing better than writing Scripture on the tablet of your heart. Amen? Oh, he says there, "My son, keep my words, treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." The best thing that you can do as a Christian in protecting your heart is to feed your heart the Word of God. Every chance you get. Read it. Hear it preached. Memorize it. Meditate on it. We talked about memorization a couple weeks ago and about meditation. You know, that takes time. But that is really time well spent. Wilbur Smith said, "We should be careful not to give all our time just to reading the Word to see how much we can cover. But after reading a portion, we should carefully, prayerfully turn it over in our minds and appropriate in our hearts." You got to get that truth in there and just keep turning it over in there. That's a good meal. It's good diet. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'm just going to read it to you. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Scripture, certainly, but I still believe there is a lot of information out there that's good. Educational, artistic, noble stories, good sources of entertainment. Things that stretch the mind. Give your attention to that. Feed the heart good things. Keep it from bad things. And parent, let me tell you, this is something that is very, very important for us to teach our kids. This concept. We must teach our kids, starting from a young age, to protect that heart of theirs. To guard that thought life. And as a parent, you have the God-given responsibility to protect your kid's heart from the information out there that can pollute it. parent, you would have to be absolutely crazy to let your kid have private, free, open access to the internet. You would have to be crazy to let your kid have free, open, private access to cable television. Let me tell you what, there are predators online. There is information that kids can get at online that will pollute their little hearts. And don't you let them get on that computer all by themselves. You watch them. And parent, work very, very hard with your kid to teach them about putting good things in their hearts, putting good things in their minds. Understand that. So that would be one practical way, and that's something you can do every single day. Feed your heart. Feed it with good things. Be proactive about it. There's another thing that I think we can do daily, and that is this. Surrender your heart daily to the Lord. I'd like you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. This is one of the most loved passages in Proverbs. Look what it says there. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now I think that verse, that passage, basically implies that we need to surrender our hearts to the Lord. We need to allow the Lord to rule our hearts. We need to hand over our hearts to the Lord. And here's why. This is very, very important. Your heart is complicated. Our thought life's complicated. Deceptive. Did you know that we can be deceived in our own hearts? Our heart, our thought life, it's tainted with sin. The fallen nature of man. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So it says here very clearly, don't lean on your own understanding. You can get in a whole lot of trouble leaning on your own understanding. Twice in the book of Proverbs it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." David knew that. And so he would often pray, as he wrote in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Oh, my brother and sister in Christ, surrender your heart every day to Christ. It says there, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart in all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Something very, very practical that you can do every single day as a Christian to guard your heart. Simply spend some time with the Lord. Simply spend some time reading His Word. And simply spend some time with Him in prayer. And talking about the day that's coming up. And talking about the issues. And every day, once again, afresh, say, "Lord, here's my heart. Take over. Govern the way I think." The surrender is so very, very important. Surrender to the Lord. I love what one Swiss holy hermit used to say. He used to say, O Lord, take from me what keeps me from Thee. Give me what brings me to Thee. And take myself and give me Thyself. And he said that every day. This idea of surrendering. To one who asked him the secret of his service, George Mueller said, there was a day when I died, utterly died. And as he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. This heart of yours is so very important. Out of it flow all the issues of life. And here's the deal. It's wicked. It can be deceiving. So surrender it to the Lord who sees perfectly and knows all. And you know what? I have found Jesus Christ is very careful with our hearts. He's good with our hearts. He's skillful with our hearts. And if you surrender your heart to Him daily, my friend, He will lead you in the way everlasting. So, feed your heart good things. Surrender your heart. And then finally this morning, make sure your heart's clean. Make sure you have a clean heart. Again, I read to you Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart is sinful. It gets dirty. Again, remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. There's an evil quality to the heart of man. A sinful quality. And we got to make sure our hearts get clean. Now, how do you get it clean? Do you clean it yourself? Now it says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, who can say I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? It's a rhetorical question. Can anybody make their own heart clean? No, you can't. You have to go to the Lord. Only Jesus can make us clean, can't He? Scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The only way for us to make sure our hearts are clean is to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a Christian, you've been forgiven of all your sins. You've given your life to Christ. But as Christians, we still make mistakes, don't we? We still fall. We still sin. And you know what that does in our life? What that does is that sort of breaks fellowship with God. And the Scripture says that when we do that, we need to go to our Lord and confess our sins to Him. And His blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and it restores that fellowship with God. That's what David did. When he sinned against the Lord, he came back and said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. So, I would speak of that again as another daily safeguard for your heart. Daily go to your Lord. Daily ask Him to search your heart. Daily confess those things where you failed. Feed the heart. Surrender the heart. Make sure that heart's clean. And of course, there may be some here this morning who haven't taken that first step. I'm speaking mostly this morning so far to my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know Jesus Christ, but you still have to guard that heart. And these are practical ways to do it. But there might be some here this morning who haven't taken the first step, which is to get a brand new heart. And see, that's the power of the gospel message. God has made it possible for us to get brand new hearts. God made it possible by the sending of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, yes, we are born with sin in our hearts. We're born with sinners and as sinners, and our sins need to be forgiven. You can't get right with God until your sins are forgiven, and we're all sinful. But God has provided a solution. Jesus has been sent. Jesus came and died on the cross for the sins of the world. He paid the price that we might be forgiven and that we might become sons and daughters of the King. And you know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you will become transformed from the inside out. And see, that's the transformation that's needed. If anyone is in Christ, the Scripture says, he's become a new creation. Jesus said you must be born again. If you will put your faith in Jesus Christ, He will change your heart. He'll give you a new heart. He'll put His Spirit in your life. I love what Jesus said to the woman of the well in John chapter 4. Speaking of that water in the well, He said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." John chapter 7. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Would you bow your heads with me? Would you close your eyes? Oh, precious, precious ones. That heart of yours is central command. The condition of your heart is so important. Maybe here you sit this morning and you've seen the wickedness of your heart manifested in so many ways. You've seen it. You know it. You know this is true. And perhaps you've even tried. Well, I'm going to clean my own life up. I'm going to try real hard tomorrow. I'm going to really work at it, discipline myself. Listen. You can't clean up your own heart. You can't clean up your own life. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ because only He can. Only He can give you a new heart. If you want a brand new heart, you can have one right now. God can transform the inner you right now by putting your faith in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, Placing your faith in Him. Asking Him to be your Savior. The most supernatural thing that can possibly happen will take place at that moment in your life. You will become transformed. All of your sins will be forgiven. You'll be given a brand new heart. You'll become a child of God. And then you have the promise of His presence with you throughout your life. And then walk in cooperation with Him in protecting your heart. Is there anybody here this morning who needs that transformation to take place, that first step? If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand high so I can see it. Say, Pastor Terry, that's me. I need to make that decision this morning. I've never done that. I need to be transformed. Is there anyone here this morning who's never made that important decision? Raise your hand up high. That's you. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, would you stand with me and we'll sing a closing song together from our hearts to the Lord, giving our hearts afresh to the Lord, surrendering our hearts afresh to the Lord. Let's sing.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive now. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing.
Amazing love. How can it be? You might hear.
And we have counselors, prayer partners to my right, to your left, up here in the prayer room. If you'd like to receive counseling or just prayer for anything, then I invite you to come up. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen.
Amazing love, how can to my King died for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy.